Welcome back. Now let's meet the candidates for school board seat B. First, the challenger, Mr. Bob Griffin. You have a one-minute statement, sir.
Thank you so much. I'm Bob Griffin, if you go to my website, bobgriffinforanchorage.com or griffinforanchorage.com, and there's a lot of information about my bio and information, but in 1 minute, we really don't have much time, so I'm going to cut right to the chase. Recently, the school board has voted to increase class sizes, even though we've added 1,000 new staff members over the last 9 years, and the student population has gone down by quite a bit during that same time frame. Still, our results are way below our expectations. 30% of our kids are not graduating from high school. To put that in perspective, adding 1,000 staff members, the police force in that same time frame has only added one staff member, even though the population of Anchorage has gone up by more than 19,000. We're staffed and funded to be one of the best school districts on the planet, but we're mired in mediocrity because we don't focus our resources in the places they need to be, like smaller class sizes. We need a change, but change is not going to be easy, and it's not going to be swift. But I think the thing that will bring about change the best is effective leadership, and I think that's what I bring to the game. And I'm Bob Griffin for seat B.
Thank you. Len Anderson.
Well, let's get to state funding. Is it adequate, inadequate? If it's the latter, how do we increase it?
Well, state funding, I think, is probably just about right. They go through the formula every year, and based upon a demonstrated need of what the school districts need, Anchorage is the baseline, and the other surrounding communities are do their baseline off of Anchorage. I think something that we need to look towards in the future is maybe a local funding formula. There's a lot of people don't know that we don't really have a local funding formula. Our state and local our state and federal funding is on a per-student basis, but the local funding formula is tied to the tax cap. When population goes up, the tax cap goes up. When inflation goes up, the tax cap goes up. When voter-approved debt goes up, the tax cap goes up. Even if student population goes down, that causes the per-student cost to rise dramatically.
Thank you. Has the impact of the No Child Left Behind Act been positive or negative for the Anchorage School District?
I've got a kind of mixed feelings on the No Child Left Behind. I think the metrics and the data that No Child Left Behind collects are useful in a lot of ways, though the drag that it creates on the system is a problem. There's no doubt about it. We spend a lot of time focusing on testing to the test, and there's a lot of things, humanities and things like that, that are kind of left out. The main gripe that I have with the No Child Left Behind Act is that, like in my occupation as an airline pilot, American airline pilots are sought all over the globe for their ability to problem solve and creative thinking. And those are things that aren't captured very well in metrics like in No Child Left Behind. Even though for 40 years we've been told our test scores are horrible compared to the rest of the world, they still look for Americans overseas because we have that capability. And I think that's one of the strengths of our education system that's not really emphasized in testing like No Child Left Behind.
Thank you, Len.
Picking up on what you said about the per cost per student
right.
being up, we have quite a variety of, I think it's this year again, it's back up above 90. English is a second language, if at all. We have a lot of special education students, which is a partially funded federal mandate. And like you said, teachers are forced to teach the tests or that sort of thing, or the No Child Left Behind. To what degree did these factors influence the per cost per students, where perhaps this wasn't as strong, say, in the past?
Well, it's a concern. We do have significant challenges in the school district. 36% of our kids are on free or reduced lunch. About 12% of our kids have limited English proficiency. But when we compare our outcomes to, like, hardcore urban centers like San Francisco, 54% of the kids are on free or reduced lunch. 28% of the kids have limited English proficiency, yet their graduation rate is 3% higher than ours. Now, when we do these comparisons, I think one of the key differences between us and San Francisco is the competition factor. 25% of the kids in San Francisco go to private schools. There is much more pressure for people with school-age kids to take their kids to the suburbs. Marin County, for example, has a 93% graduation rate in the Novato County School District in Marin County. 26% of the kids free or reduced lunch, 12% limited English proficiency. Those type of statistics, we should be able to move our programs a little bit more that direction. I think the problem with the Anchorage School District right now that keeps us mired in mediocrity is really the lack of competition and the lack of focus for the resource allocators. The resource, we need to have a primary focus, and we need to support that focus with resources. We have a million objectives. If you look at the profile performance report, we have pages and pages and pages of objectives. But when everything is an equal objective, then nothing is really an objective.
Okay. Speaking of objectives, trade and business education have received increasing emphasis generally nationally, in particular, and discussion of them here. Do we need to spend more time and more money on trade and business education?
I don't know if we need to spend more money. I think we need to allocate our resources toward trade education. Voc education is certainly important in Alaska. You look at our economy. You know, we're trying to train the next crop of oil field workers. You know, we probably need more welders than we do need English professors as far as the Anchorage School District. And I think we do need to allocate our resources more towards that and to increase that.
How would you rate the district's discipline policies for bullying, anti-aggression education program, which I think begins in the elementary school, suspension, expulsion practices?
I think the practices are just fine. Again, comparing to other school districts, I think we have a fairly safe school district. We have plenty of security personnel. They have the resource officer program with cops in the schools. I think the school district does a pretty good job in that regard. There's a lot of things the school district does good at. I'll point out that I've studied a lot of different school districts around the country, and we probably have one of the most transparent school districts in the country. Our website is maybe a little outgrown its framework, but everything is available on the website. The honesty and the transparency, I have no doubt in. It's the value piece that's a problem. We are not getting the results that we need to get for the amount of resources we're dedicating to this cause.
In that context, what about the many people argue large number of students? I've heard different numbers, third as many as a third, who start school here and don't finish. What's going wrong with them?
Well, the transient population is an important issue to me. I am one of those kids. I moved 12 times before I graduated from high school. I did a little bit of my junior high and first part of high school. I did junior high at Benson, first part of high school at East. But I went to elementary school in Juneau. I went to elementary school in three different elementary schools in Tacoma, in Seattle. I did a little bit of my first part of junior high in California. So I'm one of those kids that bounced around, and I think it can be an attribute, or it can be a plus in the long run, because you learn to socialize and adapt to different. Of course, not everybody's the same, but it because we have that high transient population, I think we have people that are well adapted to that situation.
Concerning summer school, which was enjoyed considerable debate at the board. It is an expense, for the most part, that has to be covered out of the regular general operating fund that without summer school would be concentrated on the two major semesters. Should it be continued? Does it have to be reduced?
I think summer school should be continued. It's excellent use of the resources. You know, if we're going to let the buildings sit vacant in the summertime and not utilize them for summer school, I just don't think that's a great use of our resources. I think we have ample resources, though, that we need to focus them on things like summer school to get better utilization out of our facilities in the summertime.
How would you rate the school district's special education program?
I think we're probably above average as far as that goes. When I've compared other school districts, our per student spending is on par, and in some cases a little bit above average. The rate of students with disabilities across the country is pretty level at in that 12 to 14% range of all the school districts that I've studied, and I think we do an above average job.
Lynn?
Concerning the bond holiday on this spring ballot, as far as the school district is concerned, should it be continued? And when resumed, how should the district approach requesting bonds from the voter?
Well, bond holiday shouldn't be dependent upon testing the waters and whether the voters will support it. Bonds should be based upon a demonstrated need. If there's something that needs to be fixed, we should put the bonds out there. And if it needs to be fixed, or if we need to add a new school and the case is compelling, the school district should be able to sell that to the public. I don't know if sell is the best word, but they should be able to deliver that to the public. If the bond issues are not as strong, or if the need is not as strong, selling them to the public will be difficult. But the taxpayers have been amazingly generous when it comes to bond propositions. If they trust the school board to give them the information that they need, the school board is their trusted agent, and they always have to be giving us the best information. It's bonds, like I said, our parents will do anything to support their kids. But they count on the judgment of the school board to pass that information along to them.
Okay, finally, very briefly, what do you make of how are we doing in our alternative schools like Avail, Save, Search, and so forth? How are those schools doing?
I think those programs are great. I'm also a big fan of the charter school programs. I've toured over 40 schools in my short time that I've been investigating and looking into the school district, and I'm very, very impressed especially with the charter school programs, with the German immersion programs, Eagle Academy out at Eagle River, and Aquarian. Just amazing things that these programs are achieving on shoestring budgets.
Thank you very much. We'll come back in a second for your closing statement. Now let's welcome the incumbent, Jeannie Mackey. 1 minute, please, for an opening statement.
Thank you very much. My name is Jeannie Mackey, and I was elected to the school board last year to fill the remaining year on a term. So I've just completed serving 1 year on the school board. I have invested time this year really learning about the school district. I visited numerous schools, the different departments in the school district, to find out what are our employees doing, what do the departments do in order to deliver education to our 50,000 students. I have spent a lot of time really getting my feet on the ground. It's a large job with a big learning curve serving on the school board. It's something that I take very seriously. I have 3 children in school right now. I will be a customer of the school district for several years to come, and I would really like to serve a full year term, and that's why I'm running for re-election.
Lynn?
So during your learning year, what was your biggest surprise about the new job, or surprises?
Well, I think there are many surprises. I guess, well, I wouldn't really call it surprises, but a lot of things that weren't expected. First of all, it's a larger time commitment than I actually anticipated. There's many, many things going on in the district that you need to inform yourself about before you can really make judgments about what's happening. And I guess some of the other things that I didn't anticipate were just really how long change can take. A lot of the things that the school board does are routine, and we have to work together as a team and decide really what the priorities are going to be, because we can't take everything on.
Thank you. Has the impact of No Child Left Behind Act been positive, negative, or how would you describe it?
No Child Left Behind was a well-intended law. I think one of the best things about it is that it exposed our achievement gaps. It requires that we measure our efforts and look. You know, we need to look at our outcomes along with our inputs. I think that the law was underfunded. I think that it, in many ways, labels schools as failures, even though they are, in fact, making progress. So it's a real mixed bag, I believe, No Child Left Behind. I think that it has narrowed our ability to deliver a real well-rounded, rich education. We spend a lot of time on testing. We spend a lot of time on practicing taking tests because of this law. So there are many drawbacks to it, but I think that the biggest success of the law was that it exposed achievement gaps.
Thank you. Lynn.
I'm going to pick up on your use of the word team. Boy, there's been some criticism of the board that seems to move in lockstep too often when it comes to a vote. The votes are often unanimous. How do you respond to that after your year's experience?
Well, I also have heard that maybe we're doing things behind closed doors, and I take offense to that. All of our meetings are public. We spend a lot of time in committee meetings and other meetings where we gather information. We talk with administration. There's a lot of background work that goes into any number of things before we even get to a board meeting. Like I mentioned before, a lot of times we deal with routine during a board, routine items during a board meeting. So the other thing I want to bring out is that the school board has a different relationship with our superintendent than the assembly has with the mayor. The superintendent works for the school board. And so, I've also heard the criticism that the school board rubber stamps what the superintendent brings to us. Well, she really should be bringing us things that are based on the direction of the board. If we're constantly getting things that we need to debate and argue about, then that means that she's probably not following the direction of the board.
What would you describe as the biggest success of the school district and its biggest failure?
The school district has had many successes. Some of the things that I'm most proud about most recently are that our graduation rates had significantly gone up and the dropout rates have gone down. I think some of the failures it's very troubling to me is that our achievement gap widened over this past year. Our test scores went down. So I consider that failing in a way. I think we need to do more. We need to provide a more relevant education. Our children are not going to continue to be interested in school or graduate if they don't see that the curriculum is relevant to their everyday lives or what they're going to be doing later on in life. We need to keep up with 21st century education. Our children who are in school now are technology natives, whereas we are, teachers and adults are technology immigrants. So children are really thinking differently than how we did when we were in school. And so we need to continue to keep up with that.
Does the district have too much support staff, or are they needed because of the changing needs of the students?
I think it may be a combination of both. We certainly, our demographics certainly have changed. We're 52% multi-ethnic, our student population is now. Our needs have changed. And so there are ways that we need to support our students besides simply adding more teachers to the classroom. So there needs to be a fine balance. As far as finding efficiencies, I know that there's more that we can find. And I can't say for sure that we have too many support staff. And one of the things that the school board did this at the end of this last budget cycle was we directed the superintendent to bring us a proposal on how we can look at our budget differently and have a different budgeting process that is more value-based so that we know, we're able to, know what's being delivered on.
Thank you. How would you rate this the district's discipline policy, and particularly the bullying policy?
This Anchorage School District takes bullying very, very seriously. We have the Bystanders and Aggressors Program. We have Creating Successful Futures Program. We are trying to address it at the earliest possible level so that it does not progress. I think our discipline policy is good. One of the things that is a sad part of being a school board member is each month having to vote on expelling a certain number of students or suspending them for a long term. But those are things that we need to do. That's in our policy. We have a strict discipline policy. But the other thing that we also do is when we have added the continuation program so that when students are expelled, they are able to continue their education. So the other thing that I'm really proud of is that we have continued the student or the resource officer program, which is uniformed police officers in all of our high schools. And I think that has had an immense effect on improving our discipline issues.
Lynn?
Stimulus money funding is coming to an end. You had the experiments with the preschool, mm-hmm. the expansion, the middle school. There was a program there that you've added. They look like they've been pretty successful. The idea was then, well, if they're successful, we're going to have to probably cut something. Any ideas?
We had $67 million in stimulus funding. We know that when that's over, that we will need to find other areas to cut. If some of the programs that we have used stimulus money for prove to be successful and we want them to stick around, we will have to cut elsewhere. As far as where those cuts will be made, that will be a decision that is collaborative, data-driven. We need to, and even if we didn't have stimulus money coming to an end, we still need to do that. We need to use data as best as we can to figure out the kind of return on investment that we're making in education. We're not going to be able to keep every single program around, no matter how, what kind of purpose it serves. We're just not going to be able to continue to do it all.
What would you say about the school district's special education program? Are there areas that we should spend more money on, less money on, of course, within federal guidelines?
Well, special education, I think everybody understands, is a mandate. We must provide it. We have to fund, a student's IEP. We have to do these things, and it seems that we still find ourselves in lawsuits from time to time. Too many. Overall, I think that we're doing well with our special education. We're constantly trying to find that balance of even though we are mandated to fund special education, and we should, because special education students are our students, but we also have to find the balance of also continuing to challenge our gifted students, and not only our gifted, but the average students, the everybody in between. So it's always that it can be tricky.
Thank you. Lynn, we have time for a quick question and a quick answer.
Should summer school, what should be its status? It costs money. Doesn't take in as much as it costs.
It sure doesn't. It doesn't even take in, hardly anything of what it really costs. And is it something that should stay? I believe so. I think that for credit recovery, sometimes that might be what makes somebody graduate. It does cost a lot of money, and it's out of our general fund. It's a program that we offer outside of the regular school year. What I would like to see is maybe some more state funding for summer school. Summer school is something that I think is going to be looked at closer. It may not be something that we are able to offer in the future. We had to significantly cut it in this last budgeting process.
Thank you very much. Now we'll go to the closing statements, and first the challenger, Bob Griffin.
Thank you.
One minute,
thank you. Well, leadership. I think that's the key difference between me and my opponent. We have a choice on Tuesday to decide whether the school district is going down the right path or we need to choose a different path. If the right path is adding 1,000 new staff members in 9 years, and with decreasing student enrollment, and the outcomes don't get any better, well, my opponent will probably provide that status quo for you. The problem is that 60% of our key performance indicators year over year have been worse than the year before. We're not headed in the right direction. If you look at if you listen to the recordings of the school board recordings on the Anchorage website, our Anchorage School Board website, I encourage you to do that. You see that my opponent sits quietly in school board meetings and most of the meetings, even though there's obvious questions that need to be asked. If you notice that she recently...
Unfortunately, we're out of time.
Okay.
We're on a tight schedule here. Jeannie Mackey, your closing statement, please.
Thank you very much. One thing that I've heard quite a bit through my opponent and his running mate is that they are the father of the tax cap and the son of the tax cap. I'm not the father of anything or the son of anything, but I am the mother of 3 children in school, and they'll be in school for quite some time here in the Anchorage District. I'm concerned for their education and for the education for all of the other thousands of children that are here in our area. I will not give you rhetoric. I will do my homework. I will find out why decisions are being made. And I will commit to you to being open-minded, fair, and being a balanced voice on the school board. I'm Jeannie Mackey, and I thank you.
Thank you very much, candidates for seat B. We're finished for tonight here with running, but come back tomorrow night when we'll meet the candidates for the Anchorage Assembly. Good night.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow night at 7 when Running will introduce the candidates for Anchorage Assembly and review the area-wide ballot propositions.